We're going to
consider together that those words, "Thy light has come, arise, shine, for thy light has come." Beautiful words which Graham Kendrick wrote, and we're very thankful to Marana for bringing that to us. Well, let's turn to the Word of God then, and to Isaiah, and to the 60th chapter. I'm just going to read a few verses from there also, and then we're going to consider it for a short time this morning. Isaiah in chapter 60, and at the first verse, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, and they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves in their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish shall first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of the stranger shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought." Amen. We'll leave the reading just there. Let's bow our heads in a moment's prayer. We do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw nigh to us as we consider the word of God. Give us understanding. Lord, lay the glory of thy works in this world upon our hearts, that we might worship. Lord, that the worship may not just be the words of our lips, but the fruit of our lips, that we might render the calves of our lips unto thee and glorify thy name. Bless us now, we ask. Give me the words that I should speak. Lord, keep from me the words which are superfluous. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to exalt and glorify thee this morning. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. This is a wonderful portion of scripture, and we see there in the first verse, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." And the light which is being spoken of coming on who? There's the question. Or what? And if you go back to the 59th chapter and verse 20, it says there, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion." The Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now, Zion is a word which probably, and there's some disagreement, but probably means a fortress. It was a fortress where the first time we read of it in the scripture, David took the fortress of Zion. And Zion was one of the hills of Jerusalem. And he took that fortress. But it's a word which is sometimes used and interspersed with the name of Jerusalem, and even sometimes it speaks about the Temple Mount. It wasn't actually the Temple Mount, it was a different place to where the Temple Mount was, because the Temple Mount was called Moriah. But nevertheless, Zion became more and more connected to Jerusalem and to the Temple. But it is spoken of almost as a person. It is personified. And it tells us there in verse 4, after all, it says, "Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." So this Zion, this place called Zion, is personified. It becomes a person. And I want to suggest to you that the personification of this person really is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his people. Remember, in the New Testament, it speaks there of Christ being the head and we being members of the body. We read also of the walls of Jerusalem, on this occasion Jerusalem, being salvation and redemption. And so here is a spiritual city which is being spoken of, not a physical one. Because if the walls are made out of salvation, well, they are not walls of stone, they are walls of being saved. And so here I would suggest to you, the prophet is speaking about something much deeper. And of course, we know that on one occasion, Philip was led by the Spirit to find the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah 53. And he said, well, who is this speaking about? Is this speaking about the prophet? Is it speaking about Israel? Israel, and the Jews still take it as speaking about the Israeli nation. Or is it speaking about someone else? And Philip took up the scriptures with him, and he began to preach to him Christ Jesus. Because Christ is the Redeemer who comes into the world. So I want to consider this in that light, and begin by the candid pronouncements which are made in the context which is here. There are the confessions of the prophet, first of all. We won't go into it into great depth, which I might have done on the Lord's Day, but we only have a few minutes this morning. But if you just go back to Isaiah 59 and verse 6. Isaiah 59 and verse 6. And it says there, their webs shall not become garments. Isaiah speaks later on about the garment of salvation. So there is a garment of salvation, but their webs of lies, their webs of mischief, their webs of sin will not become garments. They won't cover themselves with them. Neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. I just keep those verses before you. And as I often exhort you, if you look it up and have the words before you, it's very good. And just keep those verses before you. And I want to read something from Romans in chapter 3. Because there the Apostle Paul takes up that very thought in verse 13. He goes from a psalm and then goes on into these very words. And you can see perhaps how his mind is working as he is speaking in Romans chapter 3 and verse 13. You read from Isaiah. I'm going to read Romans 3 and verse 13 onwards, and you'll see how his mind has gone into this passage from Isaiah. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And he goes on then and speaks about the deeds of the law. There's no salvation in the deeds of the law. But then he says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even of the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And here, the Apostle Paul, having been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as we read in the scriptures, here he goes on to show the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Redeemer. Verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so the whole thing, this chapter is taken up, it's in the mind of the apostle as he's preaching Christ. And he is saying, this is Christ, Christ is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. It is Christ. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Zion is the people of God. Zion was the people, even in the days of the of Isaiah, when so many had turned away from God, when so many were following after this iniquity of which Isaiah speaks. Yet God always had his own people, and he writes and he speaks to them. And he said, there is iniquity around, there is darkness upon you, and there is uncleanness in the land, but remember my people, I am with you. And the Redeemer will come to Zion. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79 of John, as his father speaks there, he says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The way of peace. And here is the way of peace again. So the way of peace is spoken of by Isaiah. They will not find the way of peace. But when John the Baptist is born to go forth before the Lord Jesus Christ, his father Zechariah says to give them light that sit in darkness. What does it say here? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. To give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. No way of peace in sin, no way of peace in iniquity, but Christ. And John the Baptist, who preaches Christ, are to bring people into the knowledge of the way of peace. But there is also, as well as the confession of the prophet, the condemnation of the Lord. For later on we read, it says, concerning the Lord himself, the Lord saw it, verse 15 of chapter 59. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. He looks upon the world, and he sees the iniquity. And here is the condemnation then. And then in chapter 60 and verse 2, as we've just seen, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. God sees these things, but in the midst of all of the darkness, in the midst of the sin, God has a purpose. And God has a promise to us that the Lord Jesus Christ would come, that the Redeemer would come, that he would save his people. And that's what we celebrate at this time of the year, the coming of that Redeemer who was promised some 700 years before he was born. And when we think about that very fact, 700 years, and anybody who came across this writing of Isaiah in those 700 years would think, well, are these things going to come to pass? Will they actually happen? What will happen? And almost all hope was gone, it seems, in the day when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And yet there was Anna in the temple and Simeon, and they were waiting for the revelation. And Simeon had been told that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ. For the promise was sure, though it was long in coming. Blessed are they that wait upon the Lord. So we see these candid pronouncements concerning the sin and the darkness that was there. But the contextual promises then, also, the salvation of God. In verse 16 and 17 of chapter 59, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And who is this? Verse 15, the Lord saw it. Jehovah saw it. His righteousness. He came. And that is the message of the New Testament. That if we should believe in our heart concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should call him the Lord. It is the Lord who has come. It is he who has entered into this world. He is the salvation of God. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, comes into the world. Again, verse 19, there we read, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Oh, The blessing which came from God, who created us, who looks upon the darkness of this world, and yet in the midst of it says, but I have a people, and I am with my people, and I am coming to my people, and I am going to redeem my people, not just the people of Israel, but as we see, all of the Gentiles. And here is Isaiah. Don't forget, he was a Jew. He was in the midst of a people who thought themselves to be something very, very special, and that the Gentiles were the unclean and the unwashed. And yet Isaiah writes these words, and it says concerning the Gentiles, verse 3 of chapter 60, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Again, in the end of verse 5, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And I don't think it's without significance in verse 6. At the end it says, all they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and, we might say, frankincense. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Here was the beginning of it. Those wise men who came, that they might worship before the Lord. The contextual promises of God, the salvation of God is coming. The Spirit of God will raise up a standard against them. And the Son of God, the Redeemer, shall come to Zion. We consider then the coming person, which is, of course, the Redeemer. If we turn over to Luke chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, again I would encourage you to look up scriptures. Luke chapter 1 and verse 76. Here again is the words of Zechariah, verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of Jehovah to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And here are the words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the day spring from on high. What is the verse we're preaching on this morning? Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The day spring from on high hath visited us. Jesus Christ has come into the world. Here is the Redeemer. And again, if you turn over to Titus, which is towards the end of the Bible, if you don't know your Bible very well, if you find Hebrews, it's just two books before Hebrews, Titus and chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The words there are written in that order in our version of the scripture, but the Greek can read this way: the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Who is it was to come? The Redeemer. He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Who is it that was to come? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here this morning because Christ has come. And we are remembering the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world that he might redeem his people as he promised by Isaiah in these very chapters. Remember, there's no chapters as Isaiah was writing. He didn't stop at the end of chapter 59, say, right, well, I'll do chapter 60 tomorrow. He is just rising on through. So we see, here we have the Lord. And again, in chapter 60 of Isaiah and verse 16, just to cement the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is this very Jehovah of the Old Testament, verse 16, it says, thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, Jehovah, that is, if it's in small capitals, the word in the Hebrew is Jehovah. And it says, and thou shalt know that I, Jehovah, am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. It is the Lord who has come. That's why we rejoice. Because it's not just that some man was born and did some prophetical things while he was here and healed a few people, but God, in the person of Jesus Christ, comes into the world and bears our sins. I am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So we come finally to the Christian proclamation. And that's where this verse really stands out, as it speaks to us as Christians in this day and age. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So every child of God here this morning, there may be darkness in the earth, and we look around and we see the sin, and we see the uncleanness, and we see even the oppositions of sinners against us and against God. But the Lord says, there will be darkness, and it will cover the earth. For the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Let me ask you this morning, Christian, is the glory of the Lord seen on you? Do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? Do you glorify him? Can the world see that you have a peace that they don't have? Can the world see that you have a God, a Saviour, a Redeemer that they don't have? Do we proclaim Christ? Isn't that what Isaiah is saying here? For he is not just saying that the light is come and has arisen and shines, but he is actually given a command here: arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And how should we glorify God? How can we arise and shine? Should we not be speaking forth of Christ, and should we not be pouring out the grace which the Lord has given to us, to those who are around us? In Philippians 2:15 we read that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are the lights of the world then, Christian. We are the lights of the world, and we're in the midst of darkness, and sometimes the darkness seems to get us down. But let me tell you, the darker it is, the more powerful the smallest light is. You may feel that you don't have very much light to shine, but the darker it is, the brighter the light. Sometimes I go into my bedroom at night, and Carol's already asleep, and I've been studying, and I've got a computer on in front of me, and the lights are out in the bedroom, and I go into the bedroom, I can't see anything because the light has been in my eyes. I go into the bedroom, can't see a thing. I'm sort of walking around, and she's always left her shoes in just where I fall over them. I think she does it on purpose so I can wake her up. So in the morning, she says, "You woke me up when you came into bed last night." I think it's a trap for me. But I go in, I can't see a thing. But after a while, things begin to resolve, because there is light in the room. There's only a little bit of light. But as the darkness is there, which seemed complete, yet we are the lights. Men and women might know Jesus Christ as their Saviour because we are lights. And if you are a Christian, you are a light. Matthew 5:14, the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Or that we might glorify God. Even this day, amongst our family, perhaps you'll be with family who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They walk still in darkness. They still are seeking to clothe themselves with the web of which we read. But they can't make a garment of it. But there is a garment of salvation. We can be robed with the righteousness of Christ and be saved. Or that we might have such a testimony before them, that they might not be lost, but be drawn to Christ. Marana sang earlier these words: "Darkness like a shroud covers the earth, evil like a cloud covers the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear on you. Nations will come to your light. Children of the light, be clean and pure. Rise, you sleepers. Christ will shine on you. Take the Spirit's flashing two-edged sword and with faith declare God's mighty word. Stand up and in his strength be strong. Here among us now, Christ the light kindles brighter flames in our trembling hearts. Living word, our lamp, come guide our feet as we walk as one in light and peace, till justice and truth shine like the sun. Like a city bright, so let us blaze, lights in every street turning night to day, and the darkness shall not overcome till the fullness of Christ's kingdom comes, dawning to God's eternal day. Tremendous words, Mr. Kendrick wrote. But I wonder this morning, are we shining forth as lights? Do the people know that we are the Lord's? Does it shine in our faces? Can we glorify him? Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray, Lord, that we might take the exaltation of the word of God, which is a continual exhortation throughout, that we should know the fullness of the blessing of Jesus Christ in our lives. And there is much darkness, and we can be cast down and feel that all is lost. But Lord, we are the lights. And it might seem very dark outside as we shine forth, but Lord, people see the light. And though they are in darkness, they can see the light. Father, we pray that your blessing would be upon us as we would seek to serve thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.